You will join us on Tuesday night at the First United Methodist Church down there on the square at 7 p.m. Tuesday night. I'm getting initiated. They always ask the new guy on the block to come and share some words of encouragement, and I would be appreciative of your support in that. So hope to see you then. You know, this is a great time of during the holiday season to reflect on how we can be thankful. And before we go any further, I just wanted to tell you how much Teresa, Sarah, and I appreciate this church, how much we love you, and how we know God could not have chosen a better congregation in the world to work with, to be a part of, than this congregation. And we are deeply honored to be a part of this fellowship and excited what God's going to do in the future. Last week we talked about honesty, and we learned a really important principle about honesty last week, and that is, I will be completely honest with my words, not because the Bible says lying is wrong, but because it offends my God who is truth. That's an important principle to live by. We don't lie because it hurts God. It offends God. That's very important, I think, to understand. We do it for that reason. So why should we hold on to integrity? We're talking about this. I think it's important to talk about, real quickly, why. God's Word tells us integrity provides protection. On your outline there, you want to write in the word protection. Psalm 25, verse 21, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope, Lord, is in you. We have less fear in our lives when we put our trust in the Lord. Integrity provides protection. It also provides security. Proverbs 10, verse 9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. There's greater confidence. There's greater joy in our lives. Integrity provides guidance. Guidance. That passage in Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Integrity defines who we are as a people. Do you people know you at your work as an honest person? Do your children know you as a people of your word, as a person of your word? When you hear the names, you know, we hear the names of Enron, Jimmy Swaggart, Bill Clinton, O.J. Simpson, what do you think about when you hear these names? We think about the bad choices they made. Their integrity has been tarnished. Integrity defines us who we are as a people. And nowhere is integrity more crucial than I believe in the workplace. I want to submit to you today that the most precious possession that you have is not your job, it is your integrity, your reputation as a follower of Jesus Christ in the workplace. Why is this important? Because people are watching you. They are watching how you respond to situations. They are watching how you treat others, how you say things. It speaks volumes to people. It speaks volumes to them. People make judgments about Christianity based on what they see. I remember in the Air Force as an unbeliever, was not a Christian. And I remember this Christian guy that lived right across the hallway from me. And I watched him constantly because he was one of these guys that said he loved the Lord and was faithful, went to church every Sunday. And I realized this guy was truthful. He had integrity. And his life spoke to me. Jesus uses a wonderful metaphor for influence. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Remember how he said, what does salt do? Salt influences everything it touches. And Jesus' point here, I think, is that if we are the salt of the earth, we are going to influence those people around us. And he said, if you lose your saltiness, it cannot be made salty again. In other words, once you lose your influence in a community, in a church, at your job, you've lost it. You know, if you saw me drunk at a bar, would you want to hear what I have to say on Sunday morning? Absolutely not. We make judgments based on what we see. We are salt to this world. Today, I want to talk about integrity in the workplace. And it's not just the workplace here that we're talking about. I think this principle can be applied to your community, to your neighbors, to everything around you. This should influence the way that you think. Next week, we're going to be talking about keeping our integrity in the midst of life's storms, looking at the life of Job. So let's look at two snapshots today of the book from the book of Daniel. Let's pray as we begin. Father, I thank you for this time together today, and we ask, Lord, that you help us make you look good this week on our jobs, in our communities, and every person we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is what I want you to take home today. Don't compromise your faith for the approval of people. Don't compromise your faith for the approval of people. Look in Daniel chapter 1 with me. Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at a very important moment in Daniel's life. Daniel and his friends, you know, they're more than likely 10 to 12 years of age. They're very young. They have been deported back to Babylon from Jerusalem. This is around 605 BC. Daniel will see in his lifetime, his 65-year ministry, he will see three different kings from three different countries take the throne. And because God is with him, Daniel and his friends end up becoming powerful government workers, influencing a lot of people. Daniel, you know, he's not even a teenager. And here he is living thousands of miles from his home. He's separated from his family. He's separated from the temple in Jerusalem and from any godly influence. And you know, you and I are going to find ourselves in the very same situation many times in our lives. Whether or not we succeed depends on our integrity and where we are as people. Look in verse 1 with me, verses 1 through 7 of chapter 1. In that third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter into the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. You see what Nebuchadnezzar's doing here? He is brainwashing them, giving them Babylonian names, training them in the ways. And here's, you know, he's saying, here's what you need to do to be accepted in Babylonian culture. Here's what you need to be doing. In our world today, in the workplace and in the communities, what do we have to do to be accepted? We have to exhibit tolerance in our world today. Haven't you heard the word tolerance a lot? Tolerance for gay lifestyles. Acceptance that all religions lead to God. For people living together and to throw out marriage, we are told to tolerate and accept those things in order to be accepted in our culture today. There's no belief in absolute truth anymore. There's no belief that there is a God who gives us His Word and shows us how to live, and it is truth. Christians are seen as narrow-minded, judgmental, and hypocrites. And our culture today does not want to listen. Don't compromise your faith for the approval of people. Now, look in verse 8 with me now. Verse 8 through 10. Lost my place, excuse me. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. It kind of reminds you of Joseph, doesn't it? But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Notice the difference between Daniel and this official. Daniel fears God. This official fears man. When we fear man more than God, we show that God, we don't trust him when we don't fear the Lord. And what he does matters in our lives. At the root of integrity should be that we fear God more than man. At the root of integrity should be that we fear God more than we fear man. In Hebrews 13, some powerful words. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can people do to me?" What will keep us out of the adulterous situations? What will keep us being honest at the workplace? What will keep us being honest with money and with the IRS and not keep us off porn sites at 2 a.m. in the morning? And what will keep us living pure lives when we are in the motel and we are in the state of California or some other place where nobody is around is that we fear God and that we know that He is present wherever we go. God doesn't stop being God just because we travel or go someplace. He is still the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do you truly fear the Lord? Do you respect Him? Do you honor Him? And you love Him in your life? Abraham Lincoln, at the age of 24, was a postmaster for the U.S. Post Office in New Salem, Illinois. What did he receive for 1 year's wages? Are you ready for this? 1 year's wages, $55.70. I'll do the math for you. That's $4.64 a month. That ain't a lot of money, is it? A few years later, the post office he worked at was closed, and Lincoln began working as a lawyer. However, the U.S. Post Office did not settle their accounts in New Salem until 3 or 4 years after Lincoln had left the post office and lost his job. An agent informed Lincoln that $17 was missing and was owed to the government. Lincoln crossed the room, opened an old trunk, and took out a yellow cotton rag bound with a string. Untying it, he spread out the cloth, and there was the $17. He had been holding it for all those years. He told the agent, "I never use any man's money but my own." That's a man of integrity. And that's why he made such a great president. And just like Daniel, Daniel resolved not to eat what he knew was wrong for a Jewish person in that time frame. A covenant-keeping Jewish person obeying Yahweh does not eat those foods, does not eat meat, does not eat the things that Gentiles eat. And Daniel made it up in his mind. He resolved. And by the way, that's where temptation begins. Temptation begins in the mind. This is where we conquer temptation, is in our mind. And what sustained him and his friends was they feared God. This gave them integrity thousands of miles from home. And we often forget integrity begins in the home. Daniel's parents must have been extremely God-fearing and godly people. Do your children know you as a person of your word? Let's continue in verse 11. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Daniel's saying, "Hey man, let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you that if I do this, I'll be honoring God in my life." How were they rewarded? Look in verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Look in verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time, verse 18, set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. I want you to notice something. The fact is, these people were respected for their convictions, for their belief. People may not agree with what you believe at your workplace. They might not agree with you, what you talk about in your community. But they will respect you because you're standing up for what you believe is right. Don't compromise your faith for the approval of people. Why is there such a problem today with integrity? Well, I think the bottom line is this. We do not connect faith with our life. Some of us see them as separate things. You know, church life, I got my church life, I got my home life, and I got my work life. Some of us think we can live however we want to live in each one. And we say, oh, the workplace is not a place of religion. I disagree very strongly. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Now I want you to imagine the passage here is talking about slaves and masters. But I want you to understand it in the context of, for us today, slaves would be workers and masters would be bosses. Let's read together, beginning in verse 5 of Ephesians 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't separate your faith, who you are as a person, from the workplace. You don't separate yourself from the community or from wherever, the schoolroom. You are working for Jesus. And we're not talking about preaching at people. I'm not talking about sitting in the lunchroom and getting out your Bible and just start, you know, reading God's Word out loud and trying to point fingers at people. That's not going to reach anybody. But what I'm talking about is living and speaking in a way in your workplace that shows people that you honor God and you are a person of integrity. When the opportunity to lie and get a promotion comes, you turn it down. When the opportunity to hear a good dirty joke comes, you don't listen. When the opportunity comes to lie on inventory or time cards, we're honest. When the opportunity comes to eat lunch or be alone with a worker of the opposite gender, you say, no, I can't do that. When everyone in our office talks about what a jerk our boss is, we don't contribute. And when the name of God is blasphemed, we politely say, God is not in the damning business, He is in the saving business. I said that to a guy one time in a convenience store. And you know what he turned to me and said? You know, you're right. You're right about that. We are people of integrity. You are God's representatives in the workplace, in the community, in the schoolroom. David said that God will test our integrity. You can count on that. And what's the difference between testing our faith and tempting us? God tests our integrity, our faith, to help us see areas that we will need to work on. Testing is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Satan tempts us to do evil. God does not tempt us. He tests us for our good. Daniel is tested at every stage of his life. And I want to tell you today, we are going to be tested at every stage of our life as well. And when we fail, there is forgiveness. What are some qualities in employees that irritate bosses the most? This is real interesting. The Burke Marketing Research asked executives in 100 of the largest companies, and this is what they said. At the top of their list, notice what it says. Dishonesty, lacks integrity. You know, if you don't have integrity, all your other qualifications go down the tube, don't they? Look at the other ones. Irresponsibility, goofing off, using personal business on company time, arrogance, ego problems, excessive aggressiveness, absenteeism, lateness, not following company policy, whining and complaining, laziness and lack of commitment. Hey, if you want to get fired, this is what you got to do. So, but Chris, you don't understand. My boss is a jerk. And I don't like some of the people I work with. And they're very difficult to work with. How can I possibly be a witness for Christ in that atmosphere? One more passage and the message is yours for today. 1 Peter chapter 2 here. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 18. Again, I want to submit to you that slaves here are workers. Slavery in the first century was not like slavery in America for 400 years. This was very different. Many people were slaves, and it was a very legitimate job during that time frame in Greek culture, in Roman culture as well. Slaves in reverent fear, look in verse 18. I'm going to start in verse 18. Slaves in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Verse 22, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in the body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you are all like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. God is with you in the workplace, his point is. He sees what's going on. He's also watching how you will respond and deal with bosses who are jerks, people that are difficult to get along with. What kind of attitude should we have? Peter says we should have an attitude of submission. And submission is not weak. Submission is saying, Lord, the Lord's in control of this situation. I want to make him look good. And how we respond to negative people preaches more than our words. It preaches more than our words. So, what are we going to take home today? In our communities, in the schoolroom, in the home, and in the workplace, do not compromise your faith for the approval of people. It is so precious. Let's pray as we close today. Father, I pray today, we all deal with difficult people at times, negative people. And Lord, we really want to make you look good in the marketplace, in our communities. Help us to respond to people in a way that will bring you glory and honor. Help us, Father, to make you look good. And Father, when we are criticized, help us to respond in love. When negative or false things are said about us, help us to entrust you, the one that knows the truth of the situation, and hold our tongues. Help us, Lord, in those moments. We ask that you forgive us for the times that we have made you look bad. We've listened to the dirty joke. We've participated in gossip. Help us to be men and women of integrity, Lord, that truly honor and glorify you. Give us opportunities this coming week to make you look good in our workplace and in our communities and in the schoolroom. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you need the prayers of this church or if we can encourage you in any way, won't you come as we stand and we sing.